Okay, this was actually a presentation that we did for the Global Forum on Gender Statistics, and we were actually trying to develop a framework for easily integrating gender into household survey and into the PRSP and other process. It's really on the framework of integrating gender, and I'm glad to present it here because we really need input to have coherent framework so that we can actually integrate gender in the work we are doing. I will skip on some of the slides. And one of the things is the gender is is recognized to be important by all institutions, be it at the government level or at the international level. Everybody says gender is important. But when you look at most of the policy framework, be it a national development plan or the PRSP, the MDG, they do not actually integrate gender. One of the problems with that is most of the people who are working on elaborating the development plan, most of the people who are working on elaborating the PRSP and writing the gender, the MDG report, do not have framework to integrate gender in their work. So whatever the level of advocacy is, they don't have a tool, so they just keep it. Even if they are willing to do it, they cannot do it because they don't have the framework to do it. So what we tried to do is to really find a framework to do that. The first thing that you have to do if you really want to do well is to have an institutional framework. So we start by setting up an institutional framework to integrate the gender dimension into the household survey, the poverty household survey. And to do that, we actually involve other institutions like UNDP, UNICEF, and we also involve the NGOs of the country so they can have the input in there. The framework is very important because if you don't have an institutional framework, some people might not be willing that gender be integrated into the survey tool and the survey and the analysis of the result. So you really need a strong institutional framework. Now, the conceptual framework that we have used is, first of all, you need to set up some kind of meeting, a steering meeting, because on that meeting you need to summarize the user and the producer proposition on gender question. If you have any issue on gender in the country, then it will come up during that meeting. And you need to agree on the basic principle of integrating gender. What do you mean by mainstreaming gender? What do you mean by integrating gender for the specific work that you have to do? So for the poverty survey, we concentrated on gender and poverty, and we concentrated on integrating gender into the PRSP and then into the MDG report. And we set up an agenda for meeting every week so that we can see how the work is going. Now, after that, what you have to do is to set up a gender and poverty knowledge base. Like I said, most of the guys working in the process, they don't actually know how to integrate gender, and they don't know much about gender. So you need to set up a gender and poverty knowledge base. We set it up by a secondary literature, and we summarize that gender base, and we share the document with all the team members so that we have the same information. And the next step is the gender issue and property dimension to be addressed in your survey tool. you need to decide on that too. So there was a discussion on gender issues related to poverty, and those issues was on health, education, time use, and so on. We'll also decide on which poverty dimension to address, and we decided to address monetary issues and then capability issues. Okay? We also identify the gender dimension and priority areas to focus on for the PRSP and MDG. The next step was the questionnaire. Actually, the questionnaire already exists. In every country, you have questionnaire on poverty analysis. But you have to take that questionnaire and review it to see if the gender dimension that you agreed on, if they are already in the questionnaire or not. After that, you will have to actually integrate the question that are not in that questionnaire in your survey tools. The next step is wording the gender question. When you word it, the way to word the question and the way to ask it on the field may make a lot of difference into the type of answer that you get. So we make the wording and then we integrate all the gender dimension that we agreed on in the survey tools. But in doing step 3, step 4, and step 5, we already have to go back to our knowledge base on poverty, what we know, what we don't know, and that knowledge base also will give guidance on how to integrate and what to do if you get stuck somewhere in the process. And the next step was to validate the questionnaire. So we have a workshop with all the economy, statistician, gender expert, the NGOs, government official, to validate the questionnaire and the gender issues that were integrated into the questionnaire. When you finish that, you have to do a system-wide checking because your questionnaire actually is an integrated questionnaire. So you have to see if there is coherence in the questionnaire. If you don't have coherence, you cannot go with the question on the field. So we have to check that. When you finish that, then your process of integrating gender dimension into the questionnaire is done. And you can go with your questionnaire on the field. Now, for the analysis, you also have to set up an analysis framework for gender and poverty. So we have some general guiding principle. This is for poverty, so the analysis is based on the conceptual framework that I have just presented. Okay? And also you have to analyze the monetary poverty situation of both men and women. You have to identify disparities in women and men's capabilities. But you have to go also beyond sex disaggregated data and look at how can you identify and analyze gender factor that increase the probability of experiences poverty? Domestic workload versus time constraint, is it different for men and for women? You have to identify the link between gender disparities in different areas. For example, domestic work and education. Some people don't send the girl to school because they want those girls to help them at home. Then you have to analyze disparities amongst women as a group and amongst men as a group. And then you get the policy implication of those findings. But to do that, we actually need some gender statistics. The requirement to have for those statistics, you have a standard indicator of gender that you have, of poverty that you have to disaggregate by sex. You also have other requirement related to poverty incident by sex and by region, and rural-urban poverty incident by sex, poverty incidence among women, and poverty incidence amongst men. And this has the interest is very, very clear that poverty affects men and women differently. Does it take more effort to bring women to the poverty line than it takes to bring men to the poverty line, and so on. You also have to look at the capabilities approach. So gender and education, gender difference in average year of schooling, gross and net enrollment ratio, literacy rate, these are standard indicators. But you also have to look to the reason why girls are not going to school. Okay? Family preferences, preferential choice for boys and girls' education, reason for not completing education. And for health, you have to look for morbidity rate by sex, percentage of population with access to health facilities, indicator of usage of health services by sex, and so on, and then type of personnel consulted by sex. Reason for not consulting when ill by sex, indicator of child nutrition by sex, and indicator of child vaccination by sex. For the opportunity block, this is about domestic work and labor force participation. So participation in the domestic work by sex, time spent on domestic unpaid activities, economic activity profile by sex, share of women in wage employment in the non-agricultural sector, and percentage of labor force population currently employed by sex, and number of hard work, and so on. And reason for not working, and reason for actually not working, or for working less than 40 hours. This is very important for actually women who are working. Access to land and credit. Percentage of women and men who have access to land, but who have also ownership over land. And then indicator of credit program availability for small business development, access to credit by sex. And percentage of women who have experience with physical violence due to war by type of violence, indicator of women participation in decision making at the household level. And this part was very highly demanded by NGOs, because if you cannot accept your wife to participate in decision making in the household, there is no way you will accept a woman to be a candidate for election and something like that. You will not even vote for him. So the first thing to look at is at the household level, what is, in terms of decision, who control income, who have decision about political participation, who decide about investment, and so on and so on. What is the time again?
5 minutes.
Okay. Now, after you did all this analysis framework, okay, you decide of how to integrate gender into the PRSP itself. Okay, so we start by analyzing gender issues that were addressed in the interim PRSP. So we identify the gender gaps and the issues that were addressed in the interim PRSP. We identify thematic areas where gender data are needed for proper gender-sensitive policy analysis. And gender into the drafting process, when you have actually made the analysis of the interim PRSP in terms of gender, then you have to say, okay, how will I go about integrating gender into the final PRSP? And after that, there is an editing process. And we revise, we validate the process. And then after that one, we start writing actually the second MDG report for the country, and also doing the MDG costing. If you look at the model for costing MDGs, the model for gender only integrate sensitization program. There is nothing else in that gender model to integrate gender into the MDGs, okay? Okay, to conclude, well, like I said at UNIFEM yesterday, most of the time, statisticians are not willing to integrate gender into the tools. So what you have to provide for them to integrate gender in the data collection tool and data analysis tools is to provide a framework for them to use. And this is what we did at first time. And then we actually collected the data, and we have a specific report on gender and poverty for the country. We have a specific report on gender profile for the country. The framework is still, I mean, we need some improvement, actually, for the framework. So what I'm trying to do this July, it will be on July 23rd, there will be a national workshop where we will present the framework in detail to everybody who is involved in gender studies and so on in the country. And then we will take their input so that we can improve the framework. The way forward, actually, we are setting up gender courses for all statisticians in the statistics school. And so the framework will be actually useful for them to know how actually, when they finish the school, the training, how to integrate gender into their work at the National Statistics Institute. And this is not only for Ivory Coast where we are doing that, it's for all the Western countries that we want actually to do that. And this is it. If there are questions and so on, clarification.
Thank you very much, Nunklu Bali. I hope I've learned to pronounce your name the way you do pronounce
it. Was fine.
But I am really very, very impressed by this analytical framework, because it actually brings out the critical issues that need to be followed if we are to make a concrete or a good MDG report. I am not really sure whether that's what we are doing in my country. Maybe John will tell us, because I don't work in gender. But I am very, very much impressed by the framework. My question is, for every report that you make, first of all, how often do you do it? And then when you do it, do you sort of, you know, like do a comprehensive survey or not? I know some of the stuff there, you know, like the health data. That one is not very, very difficult to get. And the health data and the education data, I know it's not very, very difficult. But there were other issues, you know, like decision making, you know, those that are qualitative information. But even, you know, for the health data and for the education data, if you are going to begin analyzing the gaps, the disparities between men and women, obviously it means you have to do some kind of qualitative, some focus group discussions, some, you know, those kind of thing. You know, looking at the whole process, it is really good, but I am seeing that it appears to be quite expensive. Although I wouldn't mind to do it, you know, like for the first time for the baseline, and then maybe after 4 years again I do it. But how do you, I mean, what is the frequency and how do you get the qualitative data? Okay. Thank you. And may I ask that you give us a copy of this so that we can also try to use it in our country? Thank you.
Thank you, Nu, for your presentation. I miss a part. I was outside, but I just wanted to find out how do you deal with the government or institution? Is it, did you involve them since the beginning, or in kind of in terms of recognition of your work and integration of the, you know, the plan, or how do you deal with them?
Thank you. I also wanted to join my colleagues to congratulate you for the extraordinary work that you have been doing in Côte d'Ivoire, and to say that this is really an experience that we should put effort into replicating in other countries. And I always believe that statistics are a good entry point to engage in gender discussions. Because even for people who are hermetic to gender issues, once you have the figures and you start asking why are there such differences between women and men, you start gender analyzing, and it's easier. It's an easier pill to swallow. So I just wanted to say that as UNIFEM, we are committed to support the replication of this initiative in other countries, and also promote cross or intra-African learning, just to so that countries can learn from each other. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I would like to ask you, how was the women movement and or feminist movement involved in all the process? What was their response? And okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that presentation. And the fellow Africans here have voiced the need, approval for this kind of framework. Well, I have been having some conversation even with you, and I still see some gaps in all these our frameworks because we've had so many of them, you know, replicating from what World Bank and all these organizations hand over to us. Gender mainstreaming, name it, we've had so many of them. But there is always a gap. It's either at the start, right? Usually at the start. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And usually it is a dialogue, it's an analysis of, you know, a macroeconomic framework or an institutional framework that ought to generate the need for this kind of framework, so that at the end of, you know, using the framework, policymakers know what to do with it. Most often, we have these frameworks. A lot of times, there's an attempt to apply them. After it, they don't know what to do with it. And then that is where it dies, and you see gender is not being integrated. And you have this, what we now call policy evaporation. Because at the level of action plan, nobody is really equipped to now use, you know, these tools to carry forward the process. And that gap, that critical gap, is research. Research, gender-aware research, especially research that critically analyzes the policy frameworks from a multi-sectoral perspective. And I do hope that more, you know, of policy actors like you will come to this workshop, because the problem that academics like us have is that, you know, we go with the question, the research questions, and they need to, you know, situate them somewhere. But nobody is interested at the policy level, at the government level, to listen to you, to take time to wait for you to conduct a research to come up with output that should inform the kind of framework that you are presenting. So there's all these critical gaps. And, well, I'm personally sick of these frameworks that never get you anywhere. Of course, I'm saying that at the forum you're having with your colleagues, I hope that you bring this agenda of engaging with macroeconomic policies and institutions to your colleagues, because you are the ones that dictate, you know, that have the hand to say, yes, gender will remain integrated. But it will not remain integrated if we have not conducted what I would call felt need research, to even tell us which frameworks are most pertinent at any point in time. Mm-hmm. So please make it a point of duty to bring your colleagues here so that they will give more space to scholars. The space for scholars is just being squeezed out because even the partners, the development partners, tell you they are no longer interested in research studies because they go on like forever, and then at the end of the day, they don't know what to do with it. Mm. So there's need for scholars and practitioners to work together first and foremost before advocates, the lobbyists, you know, the activists are brought in. I mean, the activists will pick up the framework and run with it. And then they come into contact with people who are really critiquing, you know, taking them up mm-hmm. on the real issues that link these frameworks with policy, and most often they cannot address them. So okay. the thing drops out. Mm. That's just my concern. I think it's an opportunity to move the process forward. Please let us look beyond these frameworks. You know, before we get to the level of framework, what do we need? After the framework, what do we really want to do with it?
Hi, thank you very much. Very concise and good presentation. I want to pick up on Bola's point in a kind of roundabout way, because I have two questions. One is, to what extent the framework that you are working on, mm-hmm. A, is an extension from or different from the framework laid out in the gender chapter of the PRSB source book, which has been elucidated and built on by the OEC DAC group. So there's been extensive work. So it's not so much that there is no attention to gender in the formal PRSB structure, because there is a huge amount of work that Mark Blackton and Bloomberg within the World Bank have done mm-hmm. in trying to meld SENS for framework, right? The four poverty dimensions of poverty framework and what the OECD DAC gender group has been looking at. In a review of over 40-something of these PRSB, it was found that even where the PRSB had clearly articulated processes, including women's group and so forth, participating in it, at the end of the process, there is what Elena Derbyshire has called policy evaporation of all of the gender recommendations. Mm-hmm. So I guess my second question is, since the PRSB outcomes have to be approved by the Joint Staff Assessment Committee of the World Bank, IMF, to what extent have you already have some discussions with them mm-hmm. about how your framework and whatever result of it will be carried through? Because the government and the national sectors put it in. But when it goes to IMF, World Bank's staff assessment, they have not been engendered either. So it's not just our finance people that are not engendered. The people who are reviewing and approving the PRSB for pass on, they are totally disconnected from the gender equality division of the World Bank. So we have a problem everywhere. And so that would be my question. Because I think, like Bola said, there's a lot of framework. The World Bank has articulated the Siaga framework and all these different frameworks. The problem is the discontinuity between the bank section that's doing gender equality mm-hmm. and the people who actually are the ones making decisions about what PRSP goes through and when does a country yeah. pass a threshold and so forth. Mm-hmm. The case of Pakistan, the finance ministry did a very good thing, nice elaborate process on gender equality, and I could forward it to you. But then when you actually get the end of outcome of the PRSP, the gender part evaporates. So you could spend a lot of time articulating these frameworks, and they don't that's not to say that they don't go anywhere, but I think it speaks to the question of Bola about what is a political and active process for moving forward the outcome through the process.
Okay. Okay. Well, I will start by how was women involved into the process and government institutional? Were they involved and so on? Okay, I shall say what we did at the starting point was actually to have a formal meeting with the NGOs and it was in Yamoussoukro, to get them involved in the process. And the NGOs actually back up the task that we have to integrate gender into the statistical tool. And that was very fine for us to have, I mean, very good for us to have that backup. And then we talk with the National Planning Minister and the Minister of Finance. They say, okay, we can do it, but are the statisticians okay to do it? Okay? And I say, well, yes, the statisticians are willing to do it, but we need a formal framework so that when we do it, actually it has to be applied at the government level. It has to be adopted by the government too. So the way we did it was to actually have a formal agreement between my office, the government, and UNIFEM. And that agreement was signed before we started. And when we signed that, then, I mean, all the government was now, I will not say obliged, but actually, gender is now recognized as something very important to integrate in most of the policy framework. And we are reviewing at this time all the development plan and plan of action that were done 3 years, 4 years ago to integrate gender, all of them. And I'm really not exaggerating, but we are really, maybe she knows, I mean, UNIFEM Africa knows what's going on in Côte d'Ivoire, but we are reviewing all the policy setting to integrate gender based on the institutional framework and the agreement that we have set up with the NGOs and other gender advocates in the country. So it was not really a problem for the government and as far as women association or organization are concerned. From Uganda, was it expensive, qualitative and so qualitative survey? Well, before you do the qualitative survey, you have to do the quantitative survey. There are some people who actually do the two surveys simultaneously. But what is very important, I believe, is after the quantitative survey, you may find some results that you cannot explain, something that are very, I mean, hard. And so you can go ahead and do that and integrate those things in the qualitative survey. Say, starting from, I mean, it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, we start doing the qualitative survey on poverty. But for the what you have seen on decision making in the at the household level, we actually coded the question so we can have frequencies, so we have statistical figure to show the gap for decision making at the household level. Well, expensive here is very, is, I mean, something very relative because what we did in Côte d'Ivoire is we have a basket phone. It's not only one person who will bring the phone, but we have phone from the European Union, for UNDP, from UNDP, UNICEF, UNIFEM, and so it's really a basket phone, and we consider that phone as the same phone, okay? And then we carry out the survey with it. And they were very willing to do that. We didn't have any problem. We actually didn't even use the phone, from the government. We used the phone from the UN agencies and so on. And they are willing to do it as long as you have a coherent institutional framework to do it. And they know that in the end, it will be useful for policy making. For the South-South cooperation, actually, this is actually what we want to do. And I hope it will work out. The gaps. I do agree with my sister from Nigeria. The research gap is very strong in most of African countries. Actually, most government will not use what comes from academic research for policy making. Even when I was in the academic area, it was also my problem. After you do a research, they just say this is research and it's good for academia, it's not good for policy making, and I don't know why. So what we are trying to do for this particular work, we have the data. We did what you call descriptive analysis. Now we have thematic theme for research. And those thematic themes are not being carried out by people in the National Statistical Office. They are being carried out by people in the academic area. And in the budget for the survey, we actually provide a budget line for research. And so we are hiring the people from academia to conduct research, and we fund them to conduct research using this data. And there are very thematic areas for that in education, health, and so on. And the hope is when we have the research done, then we can use it actually to refine the policies that were initially formulated. Because even when we formulate the policy, you have the implementation part of it. In that implementation part, you do need matrix, what we call action. You need matrices. Those matrices, you need research to actually take into account all the gender aspect or other aspect that you want to be integrated in the policy formulation. So the research part of this is actually being done. But as I said, we need to set up some kind of network so we can share knowledge, we can share methodologies, we can share framework between among us, and that will be very important to get some of the framework that are being there more to refine those framework actually. The PRSP framework, World Bank, IMF, and so on. Now, for World Bank and IMF, in the process that we set up in the country, we have a representative from IMF and a representative from the World Bank who are working with us. It's the same thing for all UN bodies in the country. There is someone who they say, okay, this is a technical guy, he can work with you, and then he is working with us in the team. When we finish, we have what we call, we present and validate the result. At the validation process, the World Bank and IMF really appreciate, not only the framework, but the result that were given. What we were interested in was not actually the poverty level, but the way we disaggregated the poverty analysis by gender issues and so on. And it makes a very, very, very big difference in terms of accepting the Cote d'Ivoire final PRSP, and it was actually finally accepted. We also work with people from the World Bank so that what we are doing is not very disconnected from those guys. And one of the person with whom we are working in the World Bank, her name is Nilüfer. She is from Azerbaijan, not Nilüfer here. Because I told she doesn't know Nilüfer who is in the World Bank. I did ask her. She's working in the gender unit of World Bank. We also talked to the World Bank Institute. They train people in gender issues. And the lady who is there is also from Eastern Europe. And she is willing also to have a program with us. So we can actually coordinate and the work that we are doing in the countries and also with the World Bank. So for IMF, I have no entry point, very strong entry point for IMF. For the World Bank, we do have entry point for that. Now, for sure, in terms of policy analysis, gender is actually integrated in the final PRSP. It is not like we just describe or we have a gender profile in there. We have gender-specific strategies into the PRSP. And we made a summary of those gender-specific strategies in the PRSP, and we send it to UNIFEM because they want it for the Secretary General report, and we send it. I will be glad to send you a copy So you can see how we actually integrated gender-specific and gender system-wide strategies in the final PRSP. Yes. The PRSP monitoring and evaluation, actually, I have written down that part in the PRSP. Gender is integrated. This one is definitely yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been here, for 1 week, and I've learned a lot. What I've seen is Bola. Okay. Yes, I will talk about that.
You are a strategic partner.
Yes, I definitely will talk about that, because I thought we've run here from the beginning, and after 2 days actually, because I was very impressed with all the things that I have seen here, especially at the macroeconomic level, because this one, we don't really have strong macroeconomic framework for integrating gender in the policy arena in most countries. So this will be very interesting to do. But what I wanted to say is, the most important thing will be how we actually collaborate with other fellow who are here at this workshop to see if some of them can help us in different countries to do the job. For example, what we really need in Cote d'Ivoire right now is on time use survey. And like I said, we don't have a strong methodological framework for conducting time use. You do have general framework that are published, but I can tell you there is no statistician in any statistical office. And Taito was saying that yesterday at UNIFEM. Who is going to take that general framework and integrate it in a survey tool? You need to work with them together to provide them some kind of framework that they can manipulate, that they actually can hone and use it. And so it will be particularly important for me to see, not only with GEM Africa, it can really be any GEM fellow who has very strong experience in terms of specific gender surveys, and we can work with those, resource person to actually have some of the things that we do not have home, to have some of the things carry on in our different countries. So this meeting has been very useful for me. And even the gender courses that we have developed for the statistical office, there is no macro module in there. So what we will do when I get back, probably some of the people here will help us too, is to have a specific gender and macro module. Because in the statistical school, it's not statistics that we are learning. They also graduate in economics, and we call applied economics. It is statistic and applied economics. So we do definitely need some specific gender and macro module in the module that we have already developed. And I will definitely get in touch with GEM and UNIFEM to see how we can actually do that. For sure.